The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Matthew 3, 1 to 12. Listen to the word of the Lord. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region around along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and would gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. How's your Christmas shopping going? How many of you are early shoppers? How many of you are last-minute shoppers? We have some last-minute shoppers. Now, typical last-minute Christmas shoppers, a mother was running furiously from store to store. Suddenly, she became aware that the pudgy little hand of her 3-year-old son was no longer clutched in hers. In a panic, she retraced her steps and found him standing with his little nose pressed firmly against a frosty window. Now, he was gazing at a manger scene. Now, hearing his mother near hysterical call, he turned and shouted with innocent glee, "Look, Mommy, it's Jesus, baby Jesus in the hay." With obvious indifference to his joy and wonder, she impatiently jerked him away, saying, "We don't have time for that." So no matter how busy you are, don't forget the reason for the season. What's more important is not just for the season, but in your entire life, don't forget what matters most. We frequently need to do some self-examination to make sure our way of life is aligned with our calling. Socrates said, "Unexamined life is not worth living." Advent is a time for self-examination as we prepare for the coming of Christ. Today's scripture lesson talks about John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of women, according to Jesus. His job was to prepare people's heart for the coming of Christ. From this passage, we are reminded to conduct 3 important self-examinations frequently to live a fruitful life. The first one is that you must examine your message. You are here on earth to deliver a message, a unique message that no one else can deliver. It may be to a large community, or it may be just to your family. It may be to your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. You are not here on earth just to fill the space for 100 years, eating, drinking, and getting busy. Every day, you must ask this question to yourself: what is my message and how it is being delivered? The Bible says John was born to deliver a message, and he did it effectively. It says, this is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The Bible says John's wardrobe is very simple. He wore clothing of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his diet is even simpler. He ate locusts and wild honey. His lifestyle tells us that life doesn't need much to survive. He didn't want what he wore and what he ate to become a distraction to his message. Douglas W. Oldenburg, if you remember him, he was one of our moderators years ago, told us a story about a young man who had worked hard and struck it rich. He became very successful and wealthy, but found himself working 70 to 80 hours a week. He woke up one day and discovered that his hectic schedule was keeping him from doing so many of the things that he valued most of all. He found that whenever he wasn't working at his job, he spent maintaining all the things he had, including 2 cars, 2 homes. And he had always enjoyed visiting with friends and reading good books, listening to classical music, and serving the community. But because of his work schedule and maintaining all his possessions, he wasn't able to spend much time on those things. So he decided to undertake a rather radical experiment for a year. He decided to reduce the number of the things he owned to 250 things. Every pair of socks was one. Every dish was one. Every eating utensil, pair of pens, book, chair, and so on. Each time he bought something new, he had to give away something he owned. So the number would remain 250. I tried that. It didn't work for me, but I will keep trying anyway. After a year of that self-imposed discipline, he found that he had actually done all things he valued and he had never been able to do before. He had spent more time visited with friends. He had read more books. He had more time listening to classical music, and he had more time serving the community. And his life was much fuller and richer. And he decided to spend the rest of his life only 250 items. John the Baptist might have owned less than 25 items. And he simplified his life to deliver an impactful message. Now, it makes us want to examine our own message. Are we impactful? Now, what's preventing us from being so? Someone says, if Satan cannot make you bad, he will make you busy. If you become possessed by your possessions, you become ineffective in delivering your message that you are sent to deliver. So first, examine your message. What is your message and how it is being delivered? The second examination is that you must examine your thoughts. John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The word repent in Greek literally means to change your mind or to change the way you think. Just like Paul said in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Our thoughts can transform us. The Hebrew word for repent, naham, also means regret and change. However, the word repent in English normally conveys only regret and does not include change, the concept of change in there. The Chinese word for repent also has two, it's a compound word, 悔改, actually, which actually means both regret and change. The point is, repenting without changing our behavior is useless repentance. John said in verse 8, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Ultimately, our fruit will tell whether our repentance is real. As John preached this message, he saw the religious leaders came to listen to him. He called them brood of vipers. It was a very strong word in those days because people commonly believed that vipers hatched inside their mother's wombs, then gnawed their way out to freedom, killing their mothers in the process. And parent murder was the most reprehensible of sins in the Jewish tradition. So what's interesting about John's baptism is that the Jews came to receive his baptism. In those days, they only baptized the Gentiles that came to join Judaism. And that, so they, it is intended to wash them and cleanse them from their past way of life. But John made it clear that our ancestors' faith cannot be passed on to us. Being Abraham's descent doesn't mean that they are automatically saved. They must repent from their old way of thinking to the new godly way of thinking and change their behavior accordingly. If your message is not impactful, it's likely that our thoughts are scattered. So that we must constantly examine our thoughts so that we can repent and renew them. Ultimately, you must examine your fruit. Don't just examine your faith, examine your fruit. Faith is futile without fruit. The message of every other church, especially in the Protestant tradition, is faith alone. Because they often quote Paul's letters saying that we are saved by faith. However, they never quote Jesus. Jesus spent an entire chapter in John 15 talking about the importance of fruit, saying, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So only those who cherry-pick the Bible verses teach you that faith is all you need. Over and over in the Bible, it talks about the importance of fruit. We are saved by God's grace, yet grace is free but not cheap. Faith without fruit is the message of cheap grace. The epistles of Peter reminds us repeatedly not to take God's grace for granted. God expects to see our fruit. Jesus told many parables about vineyards, weeds, and fig trees that do not bear fruit and make God angry. So those who teach faith alone is teaching only half the truth. Here, John the Baptist also demands fruit, saying, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He said to the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to be baptized, that their baptism of repentance would not save them unless they bear fruit worthy of repentance. He didn't say that Jesus will come to ask them whether they believe or not. He says Jesus will come to look at their fruit. Then he will separate the wheat from the chaff. His winnowing fork, he said, is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So in this second week of Advent, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, let us examine our message by asking, what's my message that God sent me to here to deliver? And how effectively is it being delivered? Let us examine our thoughts so that we are not spreading thin. Most importantly, let us examine our fruit, because Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." May God bless you all. Amen.